Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from the top of Daf Kuf Nun Daled Omid Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. The appropriate Dibur HaMaschil for our Gemara is found at the very end of the previous Omid, where the Gemara says, V'chachomim oimrim hamoitzi mechaveroi olov horaya. This refers us back to the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel Omid Aleph. The Mishnah spoke about a gift given by what was claimed to be a Shchiv Merah on one side, by a Bori on the other side. The giver of the Matana claimed that even though right now he comes in front of us as a Bori, he claimed that he was a Shchiv Merah when he gave the Matana, and as a result of his getting better, he gets his Matana back. On the other hand, the claimers are claiming that you see him, he is a Bori now. He was a Bori when he gave us the Matana as well. And therefore, as a Bori giving a Matana, there's no return, and we, the ones claiming it, win. In the Mishnah, the Chachomim had said, Hamotzi mechaveroi olov haraya, the one who is trying to take it away, to gain possession, it is upon them to bring a proof. The truth is that in the Mishnah, the Tanakama, namely Rabbi Meir, used an expression that when the Shchiv Merah claims that he was sick, the giver, namely the Shchiv Merah, the person claiming he was a Shchiv Merah, the Rabbi Meir says, Sorech lohovi raya sheshchiv merah hoya divrei Rabbi Meir. The Tanakama also uses the expression raya to bring proof. The issue is the proof spoken about in the Mishnah. What is the nature of this proof? The Gemara at the top of Kuf Nun Dalid, Omid Aleph, here in Bava Basra, opens up with the question, Raya Bemai. The Rashbam explains that this question is Bein L'Rabbonon, Bein L'Rabbi Meir. The nature of this raya is through what means, bringing the proof through what means. What we're going to see in our Gemara is a machlokes amoroyim. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us say a few words of introduction. Many of the ideas that we will mention now will be part of the discussion of the Gemara as it unfolds. The first point we would like to draw your attention to is found in the outside margin. You'll notice a double asterisk that appears in the upper part of the page. This is a reference to the Mishnah on Kuf Nun Gimel Omid Aleph. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where the giver comes in front of us right now in a state of health. The Nosein is a Bori. According to Rabbi Meir, Al hanoisein lahavi raya sheshchiv merah hoya, it is upon him, the giver, to bring proof that he was a deathly ill individual. Umatonoso chozeres, and as a result of that, his matona would return, and he would retain whatever he was giving. L'rabbonon al hamakabel lahavi raya dehoya hanoisein bori. According to the Chachamim, the receiver, the motzi mechavero, will have to bring proof that the giver was healthy bishas hamatona, at the time that he gave the matona, kedei lenatzeach es cheskas momon shiyesh lanosein, in order to win over, to defeat the strength that the giver has, namely the cheskas mamon, the current status, the known status that the property was in the hands of the giver. Hence, the receiver will have to bring proof that the giver was in fact a healthy individual. We have titled under the Nosei heading, the introduction to the sugya at hand, the following, Machloikas Amoroyim Lefaresh Shitas HaChachomim BaMishnah. We're going to see a Machloikas Amoroyim. On the one side we'll see Rav Huna, on the other side we'll see Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna, to explain the Shita, the position taken by the Chomim in the Mishnah, the Omru Hamotzi Mechaveroi Olov Haraya, that the one trying to take away the property, to change its possession, it is upon him to bring proof. Raya b'mai, the raya that the Chachomim expect the motzi to bring, how is that? And this is going to be the point of machloikis. On one possibility, aleph b'edim, that the motzi mechaber will have to bring witnesses that say that the giver was healthy. And if the giver was healthy, so as we said before, the matana stands and the receiver will win. The second possibility, the second opinion in explaining the Shitas Chachamim, will be Raya. The Raya will be, we've noted here, Beis, Bekium Hashtar, establishing or verifying the signatures in the document, in the Shtar Matonin, the document that formed the gift. And we've included here, Demeachar Shehanitba Hoide Bishtar Shekosvoi, that even though the one being claimed from, the giver himself, Hoide Bishtar Shekosvoi, that he conceded that he wrote up the Shtar, Ein Ze must speak. That's not sufficient for the claimer to win his case. Why is that? The hapesh she'osar, hu hapesh she'hitir. Literally, the mouth that created the negative situation also created the positive situation. Let us go over that point again. Hapesh she'osar would be the statement on the part of the giver that he in fact wrote up the shtar, that he in fact wrote up the document, that would cause himself a loss, that he will lose the property. However, hu hapesh she'hitir, it's the same mouth that offers a counter argument for his own benefit, be'oimroi sheshchiv meira hoya, in his claim that when he gave it, he was deathly ill, and as such the matana would be returned. And as a result of saying this, hapesh she'osar hu hapesh she'hitir, v'lochein adayin tzorich hatoiveya lekaimo, and therefore it's necessary for the claimer, the ultimate receiver, to still verify the signatures. If he's successful in verifying the signatures, so then he will win. As mentioned before, all of these different ideas will be the subject of our sugya. Let us then turn to the Gemara. Raya b'mai, the proof that the Mishnah spoke about that needs to be brought, through what means? Rav Huna Omar, Raya b'edim. According to Rav Huna, the Raya spoken about in the Mishnah will be through witnesses. On the inside margin, we've included a little note. According to Rav Huna, it follows as follows, that Rebbe Meir and the Chachomim, the Tanoim in the Mishnah, Raya is going to be through the bringing of witnesses. According to Rebbe Meir, the witnesses will have to claim, will have to testify that the giver was a shchiv meira. As we saw in the Mishnah, according to Rebbe Meir, the giver is the one that has to bring witnesses to strengthen his position. If that be the case, the strengthening of the position of the giver is only if we can prove that he was a shchiv meira, and as a result of that, he'll get his matana back. According to the Chachamim, when we say Raya b'edim, we mean to say that the edim will have to prove, will have to testify that the giver was healthy. In other words, even though he's healthy right now in front of us, that's not sufficient. They have to prove that at the time of the giving, he was also healthy. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Chisda v'Rabo b'Rav Huna Amri Raya b'Kiyum Hashtar. When the Chachomim said in the Mishnah, Hamoitzi mechavero olav haraya, the raya of the Chachomim is through verifying the signatures in the shtar. If he successfully verifies the signatures in the shtar, then and only then will he be able to win. And as we said before, even though the giver admitted he wrote the shtar, nevertheless, we do not say hapeh she'osar hu hapeh. Therefore, we say hapeh she'osar, since he claimed he wrote the shtar, he would also be believed to say hu hapeh shehitir. He's the one to say that he was a shchiv meira when he gave it. And the only way to defeat that, according to this approach within the Chachamim, is if the receiver can independently verify the signatures of the document. The Gemara now goes over these shitas. Rav Huna Omar, Raya B'Edim, and now explains. Rav Huna says that the Chachomim and Rebbe Meir hold that the Raya, the proof spoken about in the Mishnah, involves the bringing of witnesses. Kol Miflegi B'Plukto D'Rabbi Yankiv V'Rabbi Noson. The Machlokis between Rebbe Meir and the Chachomim, according to Rav Huna, will parallel the Machlokis between Rebbe Yankiv and Rebbe Noson that was featured on Kuf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. We saw them on the previous Amid, which dealt with a Matana that lacked a Loshon Bari and lacked a Loshon Shchiv Mera. In other words, it was a Stam Matana, very similar to the case of the Mishnah, where it wasn't clear what the status of the giver was. And there we saw a machlokis Rabbi Yankiv and versus Rabbi Noson. According to Rabbi Yankiv, the situation would be defined by the cheskas momon, by who was holding on to it, who was the known owner. And whoever's trying to counter that, in other words, if the giver was the known owner, the receiver would have to bring proof. According to Rabbi Noson, things were determined by the way he appears to us right now. So continuing in our Gemara, we see now a geometric form. Throughout this, on this Omid, the use of this diamond geometric form will be to bring out the positions of Rabbi Meir in the Rabbonan and the Rabbonan of our Mishnah and see whom they parallel. So following Rav Huna's analysis, Rabbi Meir Kirby Noson. How do we explain that? Rabbi Meir said that the giver is the one that has to bring proof that he was in fact a Shchiv Meira. Why is that? And that is because Rabbi Meir follows Rabbi Noson's opinion that without witnesses, we would determine things Boser Hashta, based on the way things appear right now. The way things appear right now, he's healthy. If he's healthy now, then he was healthy when he gave it. Unless the giver can bring witnesses to prove otherwise, to testify otherwise. V'Rabbonan, the Rabbonan in our Mishnah who said, Hamotzi mechaveru olav haraya, meaning that even though he's healthy right now, that doesn't prove anything as far as the Rabbonan are concerned. In other words, the Rabbonan will not follow Rabbi Noson's approach, but rather Rabbi Yankiv. Rabbonan will follow Rabbi Yankiv's approach that we saw featured on the previous Omid. And that is that the Nosein, the giver, is considered muhsok. He's considered in possession of the property. And as such, the receivers will have to bring witnesses to prove otherwise, to counter that. And the only way to counter that would be by the witnesses testifying that the giver was in fact healthy at the time he gave it. and as such, the Matana would stand. We now continue to the other Amoraic opinion in the analysis of the Machlokes Tanoim of our Mishnah, and specifically, the focus should be placed on their analysis when it comes to the Shitas HaChachamim, who said, Hamotzi mechavero olov haraya. Rav Chista v'rabo bar Rav Huna Amri. Raya, the raya that the Chachamim mentioned when they said, Hamotzi mechavero olov haraya, is Bekiyum Hashtar, which means through the verification of the signatures in the document. That if the receiver is successful in verifying the signatures in the document, then the receiver will be able to keep his gift, to receive and maintain his gift. Komiflagi, the machlokes, according to these Amoroim, Rav Chisda and Rav Rav Huna, the machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim concerns the following topic. Bemoide b'shtar shekosvoi, when a giver or the one who suffers liability admits he wrote the shtar, is that sufficient to create strength and believability to the shtar? Do we say tzorech lekaimo? Do we say that the claimer still has to mekayim it, to establish it? Once again, this phrase, the phrase is a bit terse, therefore it requires solid explanation. B'moide b'shtar shekosvoi, when the one incurring liability admits he wrote the shtar, is that sufficient to bind him to that liability? Tzorech lekaimo, do we say that it is not sufficient to bind him, and therefore the claimer would still have to verify the shtar? The Rabbi Meir Sovar, Moide b'shtar shekosvoi einoi tzorech lekaimoi. Rabbi Meir, who in the Mishnah said that the nosein, the giver, would have to bring witnesses that he was a shchivera, the reason for that is that by saying that, yes, I wrote the shtar, that's it. That binds him to the gift. And einoi tzorech lekaimo would mean that the receiver would not have to verify the shtar anymore and would win. The only way for the giver to get out of this problem would be for the giver to bring witnesses that he in fact was a shchiv mera. Because if he cannot do that, he, the giver, basically verified the shtar, giving the property to the receiver. The Rabbonan Savri, the Rabbonan on the other hand hold, Moide b'shtar shekosvo, if the one being claimed from admitted that he wrote the shtar, that's not enough. That doesn't bind him. Tzorech lekaimo, the receiver still has to establish the veracity of the shtar through verification of the witnesses who signed it. And the reason for that is we say, HaPesha Osar Hu HaPesha Hitir. The one, the giver, who made problems for himself by admitting he wrote the shtar, he nevertheless is believed to also say, he, the giver, is also believed to say that when he wrote it when he was a shchiv mera. Therefore, to get out of this strength that the giver has, namely the strength in his claim that we refer to as pesh osa hua pesh yitir, the only way to get around that would be for the receiver to independently verify the signatures in the shtar, and then we would not apply the principle of hapesh osa hua pesh yitir. The Gemara asks, v'ha ifligu bo chado zimno? This presentation that Rav Chisda gave us in Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, in truth, appears elsewhere. The underlying question is, what do I need to feature the same Machlokes Tanoim twice? Desanya, There's a source that appears in Maseches Ksubas, and in our marking system, sources appear in frames. As you can see, the next line and a half is enclosed by a frame, indicating a Tanaic source. The background to this source is as follows, before we read the source inside. Witnesses who signed a shtar tell us, yes, we signed the shtar, but when we signed it, we were posel, we were katanim, or we were suffering from some other deficiency that renders witnesses non-acceptable, and therefore our signatures are not to be taken seriously. This reminds us of the concept we mentioned just a bit before, namely hapesh osar hu hapesh hitir. Witnesses claim, yes, it is our signatures that we would call pesh osar, that creates, that binds hu hapesh hitir. The same claimers that it is our signatures are also saying that we were puzzle. In other words, the word sheosar means le'esor, to tie something up. Peshehitir is to untie, to unbind it. So, is the shtar binding or not? So, according to Rebbe Meir, when we say the witnesses are not believed to say that it's puzzle, means once they say it is our signatures, they are no longer believed to say that they were not legitimate. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, it comes out, we do not say, HaPesh Osar Hu HaPesh Hitir. The source says, Ein Ne'emonim, those witnesses who said that it is our signatures, but then added to say they were puzzle, are not believed, Leposlo, Divrei Rabbi Meir. They're not believed to render their signatures unfit, once they claimed it was their signatures. Because we do not say, HaPesh Osar Hu HaPesh Hitir. V'chachomim Omrim Ne'emonim. The Chachomim, on the other hand, say that HaPesh Osar Hu HaPesh Hitir. So once again, just like we said above, that the Machlokis, Rebbe Meir and Chachomim, surrounded this issue of HaPesh Osar Hu HaPesh Hitir. Rebbe Meir saying we don't apply that principle. And as a result of that, we said above that the giver has to bring proof that he was a Shemirah. The Chachomim, on the other hand, saying, HaPesh Osar Hu HaPesh Hitir, and therefore the receiver would have to bring proof that the giver was a Bori. Well, then, why do I need this Machlokis to be taught twice? The Gemara answers, Tzricha. There is value in teaching this Machlokis twice. The E Itmar Hahi. If we would have presented this machlokis in the case of the witnesses that are testifying about their signatures. Behahi ko'amri rabbonon. There, the rabbonon would say their opinion, namely, hapesh osar hu hapesh hitir, mishum da'alimi edim, because edim have strength. The Torah grants a high degree of believability to two witnesses. Umar ishtara, and as a result of their strength, alimi, strength, they can weaken Mari, they can weaken the shtar and render it unacceptable, render it void. Avol hocha, in our case, involving the nosein matona, the giver of a gift, avol hocha, who delav kol kamine. He doesn't have the strength. And I would have thought that once he says he wrote it, that's it. Then he's bound. Emo lo. I would have thought that he's not believed to say that he was a Shchiv Merah. Therefore, it's important to have our Mishnah telling us that also over here, the Chachamim will say, Pesh Osar Hu HaPesh Shehitir. V'itmar Baha. And if I would have had just our Mishnah featuring the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the giving of the gift, Baha Koma Rabbi Meir. It might have been thought that only over here does Rabbi Meir say his point, that he's not believed to say he was a Shchiv Merah. Avol Bahach, in the case of the witnesses who passel their signatures, Ema Moda Lehu the Rabbonon. Maybe Rabbi Meir would agree with the Rabbonon, that witnesses have that strength, Tzricha. Therefore, we have to teach our mission as well to bring out Rabbi Meir's side, that let us correct ourselves. Therefore, it's necessary to teach the Mishnah over there in the source, the Tanaic source there in Ksubas, concerning the witnesses, that also with witnesses, Rabbi Meir will say his position that they are not believed. Namely, we do not say HaPesh Shosar Hu HaPesh Shehitir, according to Rabbi Meir. V'chein Omar Rabo. Raya equals B'edim. Rabo says, like we saw above, Rav Huna, that the Raya that the Chachomim spoke about when they said HaMoitzi Mechavero Olav HaRaya, that the one trying to claim the gift, it is upon him to bring proof. The proof spoken about is bringing witnesses. Witnesses that would testify that the giver was a Bori. In our markings, we now encounter a long question marking that is identified by looking in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You notice an encircled kuf with a dashed vertical line. The kuf is kushya, the dashed vertical line indicates the length of this question. Omar le Abaye. My taimo, why is it that the makabel, that the receiver, has to bring proof and that it's not sufficient for him to present the shtar that he is holding, which would show us that he is the receiver of the gift? E, Nemo, if you say to me, if you try to argue the following, then a few lines later you'll notice at the beginning of line the expression adarabba with a squiggle underline underneath it. That's Abaye offering the counterclaim. In other words, if you claim your position is based on the following, I will counter that with something a little bit later, which will bring us to the end of our question, of Abaye's question. So Abaye says, why is it that you say that the makabel has to bring proof, and that it's not sufficient for him to present the shtar, which would indicate he's the receiver and gains the property? If you say, e namo mi dekulhu ksiv behu, from the fact that all matnos bori, regular gifts that are written in a document, have the following text indicating that he was bori, namely kad havu mahalech al ragloi b'shuka, this expression which literally means that as he was healthy and walking in the marketplace, indicating his health and as such he was a bori when he wrote the shtar. Ubaha, and in the shtar, in our case, in the Mishnah's case, lo ksiv ba, it doesn't have this expression of kad havimal haragloi b'shuka, and therefore shma mino shchiv meirahavi, and as a result of that, this would indicate that the giver was not healthy, namely, the gift cannot be maintained by the receiver. That's not so. Adarabo, I can argue to the contrary. Midekulhu ksiv behu, from the fact that all matnos shchiv meira have the following expression, kad kotzi v'rami ba'arse, which means while he was sick and lying in bed, this shtar was written up, v'holo ksiv bo, and the shtar in our Mishnah doesn't have that text in it. So I can tell you, shma mina bori havi, I can argue that since that expression is missing, the giver was healthy. And as a result of that, the receiver should win with his shtar. So why is it that the Chachomim say in the Mishnah that HaMotzi Mechavero Olav HaRaya? Rabo answers, Iko Lameimar Hochi V'Iko Lameimar Hochi. As far as this document is concerned, which lacks both expressions, and therefore you could say this way and you could say that way. You could say that the giver was in fact sickly. You can say that the giver was in fact healthy. It's hard to, we can't determine anything from the text of the document. Therefore, uki mamona b'cheskes marei, I will establish without any additional evidence, I will rely on the status of ownership that was enjoyed by the giver. And therefore, I establish the property involved in this gift in the hands of the giver until the makabel, until the receiver could bring witnesses. that would prove, that would testify that the giver was healthy at the time of the giving. So with that, Rabbah explains what the position of the Chachomim that said Hamotzi mechavera olav haraya, that the receiver has to bring witnesses that the giver was healthy at the time of the giving, and only with that will he be able to win and defeat the chezkas mamon enjoyed by the giver. Ubeplukta, and this machlokis between Rav Huna and Rav Chista that we saw above is parallel to the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we're about to see now. What was the machlokis between Rav Huna and Rav Chista? So we pointed out that they were arguing in the explanation of the Chachomim's statement in the Mishnah of Hamotzi Mechavero Olav Haraya, that the one who is trying to receive the gift, he has to bring proof. And we said, what is the nature of the proof? And we pointed out, according to Rav Huna, the nature of the proof was he has to bring witnesses indicating that the giver was healthy. According to Rav Chista, the receiver would have to verify the signatures in the shtar. The Gemara continues to present the parallel machlokes. The Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Raya B'Edim. Rabbi Yochanan would parallel Rav Huna's approach that the proof spoken about by the Chachamim was bringing witnesses testifying that the giver was healthy. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omar, Raya B'Kiyum Hashtar. Just like Rav Chista said that the receiver of the gift would have to verify the signatures in the shtar, and by that would be able to gain ownership of the property. At this point, we encounter a new long question. The length of this question is indicated by our mark that you will notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in the little space between the Gemara and the Rashbam. The kuf that's encircled represents a kushya, and the dashed vertical line indicates the length of this question, and you will notice that it goes till Amud Beis, till five lines from the top. Eisve Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the raya is through the bringing of witnesses, that in order for the receiver to win his case, he would bring witnesses. Rabbi Yochanan is now going to bring a source, and at the end of the long question, it will become clear that the method of bringing proof in such cases is through the bringing of witnesses to testify. Before we read the source that's presented in the frame section at the bottom, there's a certain presumption that must be made, and that is that the property in question is currently in the possession of the heirs, and people who claimed they purchased from the heirs are coming to take the property out of their possession. So once again, we have people that inherited property, and people claiming that they bought the property from these heirs. We're going to see a controversy develop between the family of the heirs and the purchasers. The family of the heirs are going to claim that the one who sold the property to you was a koton, was a youth. He was below age when he sold the property to you, and hence the sale was void, was invalid, and the property remains with us, with the family, because the heir in question is dead. The heir in question, namely the heir that was that the supposedly sold the property. On the other hand, the lekuchos, the purchasers, are claiming that the person who sold us the property, your family member who, true, is dead now, but your family member who sold us the property was a gadol when he sold it, and hence his sale was legitimate. Now, we continue with the Tanaic source itself, which is in the frame. We said that Rabbi Yochanan is raising this as a question on Reish Lakish, on Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Maisa b'Vnei Brak, an incident that happened in that community, namely B'Nei Brak, be'echod shemochar b'nichsei oviv, umes. A person sold property of the estate that he inherited from his father and died. The purchasers are coming to claim their purchase. The omdu alav b'nei mishpocho, and the other members of the family of the deceased, came and challenged v'ir aru, challenged the purchasers and said, lomar, saying the following, koton hoya b'shas misa, that the relative who supposedly sold the property to you was below age when he died, and hence his sale is void. A minor is not acceptable in conducting a sale of property, of landed property. Ubo'u v'sholu es Rabbi Akiva mahu levodko. The purchasers couldn't find witnesses that would testify that he, the deceased, was a gadol, and therefore they're coming to ask Rabbi Akiva, can we exhume the body or open the grave and investigate the body to determine that he was, like we claimed, a gadol when he sold it. Omar lahem, I atem rashoim linavloi. Rabbi Akiva said, you're not allowed to desecrate, to violate the body by opening up the grave, by exhuming the body. That would constitute a nivul hames. V'oid, and furthermore, simonim asuyim lihishtanois la'achar misa. The signs that would indicate what you're claiming, godless, you're claiming, we can show you that on this body there are signs that he achieved godless, that he was above age. Those simonim change, can change in the state of death. And as a result of that, it could very well be that true, the dead body would have signs that would indicate above age. Had he been alive, it would appear to us differently, showing us that he was still a katan. So you're not going to gain anything by what you see on the body if you should open up the grave. Now, Rabbi Yochanan takes that story and shows that his position is more tenable. Bishlamo ledidi, it's better according to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, de amino, that I said raya be'edim, that the means of proof that the receiver of the gift is through his presenting witnesses, then this story will make sense. Kevon di Omar Lelukuchos, since Rabbi Akiva told the purchasers in the story of B'nai Brak, Aisu Edim, bring witnesses, which is the method I say, says Rabbi Yochanan, of how receivers prove their case, v'lo ashkichu, and they were incapable of bringing those witnesses. I would therefore understand the continuation of the story, hainu de ka'osu v'omrulei, and with that I can understand the continuation of the story where they said to Rabbi Akiva, mahu levodko, can we check out the body? Elo lididcha, but according to you, Reish Lakish, the Amris Raya B'Kiyum Hashtar, that the way receivers win their case is through the verification of the document, through verifying the signatures that appear in the document. Lama Luhu Lebotko, why is there any need at all to check out the body? L'kaimu Shtarayu V'lukmu B'nichsi, all they would have to do is verify the signatures in that document and gain possession of the property. The Rashbam points out, fourth line from the top, L'kaimu Shtarayu Mistamo Eino Edim Choysmem Al Ashtar Lim Kenase Godol, and most likely, if witnesses signed a shtar, and that would that would be accomplished through our verification that the signatures are legitimate signatures. Most likely, people would not sign a shtar limkei naase gadol unless the giver was a gadol. With that, we end our long question, whereby Rabbi Yochanan proves his point that the initial type of proof that a receiver would be proof in the form of witnesses. Reish Lakish responds. His response is basically by flipping around the assumption that we made at the beginning. At the beginning, we assumed that the ones in possession of the property were the family of the deceased, and the purchasers were trying to extricate the property from their possession. However, that is not the case, claims Reish Lakish. Mi savris nichsi becheskas b'nei mishpocha kaimi v'ka'osu l'kuchos ma'ari. Who is to say that that was the case, that the property was in the possession of the family of the deceased and the purchasers were coming to claim it away from them? No. Nichsi becheskas l'kuchos kaimi v'ka'osu b'nei mishpocha v'ka ma'ari. Before we go further in our explanation, let us just point out another one of the marking features. The way we read these two lines was through the use of our phrase marking. Those are the singular quotation marks that you see around the last two phrases that accompany the last three lines of our reading. That means that one should read that which is contained in the singular quotation marks as a singular phrase without pausing in the middle. The second of these phrases was, and we'll read it again, who is to say like you thought, but rather, nichsi becheskas lekuchos kaimi v'ka'osu b'nei mishpocha v'ka ma'ari. The circumstances are that the property was actually taken possession by the purchasers before any claims took place. And after the purchasers took held of the property, the heirs, the family of the deceased, came along and issued a claim that he was a katan. So as such, who is the motzi mechavero in this particular case? It's the family. And in such a case, if the family is trying to withdraw, to extricate the property from the purchasers, there's nothing about kiyum hashtar that would be germane, that would be part of this discussion. So you have a motzi mechavero. The motzi mechavero are the heirs. They don't have the document. If anything, the document is in the possession of the purchasers. But since the motzi mechavero in this case are the family of the seller, they're the motzi mechavero, the yorshim, if you will, the heirs are the motzi mechavero. Therefore, the only means that they have at their disposal would be to bring witnesses that their relative who sold it was a katan, and in the absence of that, they would turn to Rabbi Akiva, according to Reish Lakish, and ask, can we exhume the body and show that he was a katan? So, we see Reish Lakish responded to Rabbi Yochanan's question, and at this point, the Gemara goes on with what is a standard form in many Gemaras, is Hochinami Mistabra, an attempt to bolster Reish Lakish's approach. We indicate the length of this Hochinami Mistabra with a long marking found in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see there's an encircled Hochinami Mistabra with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this particular support. Immediately following that, we have a Dalet that's encircled, which will be a Dechia, a rejection of this comment of the Hochinami Mistabra. What we've also done in the text itself, we've dashed, underlined the expression Hochinami Mistabra, indicating the point at which the support begins, and at the end of that, we dashed, underlined the point at which the rejection begins. So, the Gemara is graphically illustrated even before we get into the actual text. Let's continue. Hochi nami mistabro, it is more likely to accept Reish Lakish's approach that the family of the deceased were the ones issuing the claim, trying to extract the property or retrieve the property from the possession of the purchasers. Midika Omar Lahu, from the fact that Rabbi Akiva said to them the following quote from the source, E Atem Rashoim Lenavlo, the Ishtiku. He said to those who were putting in the claim, you have no right to violate the dignity of the body. And after hearing that, the Ishtiku, they remained silent. How is it most likely to explain this story? Iamris Bishlamo, and we've used a squiggle underline to show the two sides, that the more likely side is Iamris Bishlamo this way, and then skipping a line you say Elo Iamris, but if you say the other way, it won't be so likely. So the Gemara continues. Iamris Bishlamo b'nei mishpocha ko ma'arari, if you take the position like Reish Lakish suggested, that the heirs, the family of the deceased, the heir, the family of the heir, were the ones issuing their protest. And after they sought out witnesses to testify that the deceased was a katan, and not successful in finding such witnesses, they then asked Rabbi Akiva, can we check out the body and show that he was a katan? Mishum hachi ishtiku. And after Rabbi Akiva said to them, you can't violate the body, they remained silent because they appreciated Rabbi Akiva's argument, hey, you're going to be violating the body. And they felt, of course we can't violate the body, it's our dear relative. If you would take the approach that Rabbi Yochanan did in raising the question that it was the purchasers issuing their protest, Amai Shaski, why should these unrelated protesting purchasers, why should they remain silent after Rabbi Akiva says you can't violate the body? Let them say back to Rabbi Akiva, which we didn't see in the story. Let them say the following, Anan Zuzi Avinole, we pay this guy money, Linvol Valinvol, let him be desecrated. Who cares? As we said, this doesn't appear in the story. Therefore, this is the point of the Hochi Nami Mistabro. It's most likely, like Reish Lakish claimed, that it was the family of the deceased who were coming with the protest, and hence they remained silent after Rabbi Akiva raised the issue of violation of dignity. The Gemara offers a rejection of that support. E mishum ha lo irya. Namely, you cannot prove that it's the mishpacha, the family of the deceased, that were coming to protest from the silence. I could tell you that it was really the purchasers that came to issue the protest. And the reason that they did not respond and say, let him be violated, that is because Rabbi Akiva had a response to that, as the Gemara now points out. Hachi ka'omar luhu. Thusly, Rabbi Akiva really said to them, Chado di'i atem rashoim lenavlo. First of all, you have no right, you, the purchasers, have no right to exhume the body and thereby cause a violation of dignity. The oid, and furthermore, v'chitemru, and if you try to claim back to me, zuzi shoka linvo v'linvo, hey, he took our money, let him be violated. Still, exhuming the body is not going to prove your case. Simonim asuyim lehishtanois la'achar misa. And therefore, even if you show through exhuming the body that he had signs of being a gadol, if he were alive, though the signs that appear now would in fact show that he was a katan. And it's only because of the death that these body signs changed. At this point in the Gemara, you notice a slash mark. This is an attempt to show that that which follows represents a new discussion. In truth, the points that are raised in the coming Gemara are similar to the points that were raised above, but to make it a little bit easier in keeping the different sugyas clear and straight, we've decided to use this marking. One could argue against it by virtue of the fact that you see in the Gemara itself a text that many decided not to use, namely the Toshma, which is in the printer's parentheses. The Toshma, had we used that Gersa, would indicate that the sugya continues. But for convenience purposes, we're supplying this marking, indicating that we can now approach the ensuing discussion as a new sugya. However, there will be references made to comments made above. Therefore, one has to be very familiar with the previous discussion in order to appreciate the oncoming Gemara. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our topic heading that appears in the outside margin. We've entitled this Nosei Mivneh, namely we combine the topic heading together with a structural note. The topic heading, Ha D'Amrinon, Moide Bishtar Shekosvoi. The comment, or the halacha, that Moide Bishtar Shekosvoi, Eino Tzorach Lekaimo, is that Divrei Hakoil? Who? Is that something accepted by everybody? Oi, Rak Alibo de Rabbi Meir. Or is that something that only Rabbi Meir would accept? Just to refresh our memories, the case of Moide Bishtar Shekosvo, someone who admits that he wrote a particular document, and by doing that, he thereby would be losing the case. He's admitting he borrowed the money. He's admitting he sold the property. Is that confession tantamount to verification of the shtar? And if that be the case, if that's tantamount to verification of the shtar, then we would go on to say, Ein tzorich lekaimo, that the receiver, the winner, the receiver, the other side, the other party, would not have to verify it. The one who wrote it, the one who prepared the shtar, has already, in effect, verified it. So, once again, the question that this sugya will be dealing with is that idea that Hamoide Bishtar Shekosvoi Ein Tzorach Lekaimo, is that something accepted by all, or is that something that only Rabbi Meir would hold by? We will then see in this Gemara, and as you skim down the page, you'll see a flurry of triangles. Triangles in our marking system, like all the other geometric forms, represent a series marking. In this case, the triangle's position will be flipping back and forth, top up, point down, indicating an attempt to keep track, what we call in our introduction, ma'akav, to keep track of the play-by-play, to keep track of who the speaker is and which position is being taken. So as we look at our note, we notice the triangle form, and we've indicated in parentheses ma'akav, a method of keeping track. According to Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish mashma shedin hanal, that the above-mentioned din, namely Hamode B'Shtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorach Lekaimo, is rak lefi Rabbi Meir. With the triangle pointing down, Daito Shirabi Yochanan equals Ledivrei Hakol. that according to everybody, Hamoide, namely the Nitba, the one being claimed from, Bishtar Shekosfo, if the Nitba claims that he wrote it, Ein Sorech Hatovea, the claimer will not have to, Mekayimah, will not have to be Mekayimit. Deberega Shaloive Moide Shekosfo, that at the moment that the borrower admits he wrote the loan document indicating that he is bound to pay a debt, Lo kol kamine leposto, he, the love, would no longer be believed to indicate that the document is not binding. So up till this point in our introduction, we've presented Rabbi Yochanan as being taking the position that according to everybody, Hamoide b'shtar shekosfoy ein tzorach lekaimo. In the Behemshech, the note says, in the continuation of the sugya, Reish Lakish Yishal, Reish Lakish will raise a question. Dehor Rabbi Yochanan Atzmo Omar Liel, that Rabbi Yochanan himself said above in the previous sugya, Beshitas Chachomim, when he was explaining the Chachomim, De Moide Beshtar Shekosvo, that when one concedes he wrote the shtar, Adayin Tzorach Lekaimo, the other party still has to verify it. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan himself is not of the opinion that Moide Bishtar Shekoso Ein Tzorach Lekaimo is something accepted by all authorities. Let us turn to the Gemara. We notice a triangle. Shoal, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, is Rabbi Yochanan. And we also notice in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, namely the little space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, a long question marking. Shin indicates a she'ela, an investigatory question, with a long dashed line indicating the length of this question, at the end of which you'll notice a triangle with the opposite position, with the net, with the point facing downwards, representing Rabbi Yochanan's response. Reish Lakish's question is, as we mentioned in our introduction, the concept that Moide Bishtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorach Lekaimo, is that something that only Rabbi Meir would agree with and not the Rabbonan? Shaw Reb Shimon ben Lakish es Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan the following. Zu Sheshnuya B'Mishnas Bar Kapora, that which is taught in the following Tanaic source. And you can see there's a framed source. At the end of the source, we have a dashed underline in which it says, Haloch Achar Hashtar, that one should follow the document. Namely, a case where someone admitted the shtar was binding, that he prepared the shtar. That's enough. Follow it. At that point, the Gemara Reish Lakish will be raising the Iker question where he says, Lemo Rabbi Meir hi di Omar Moide Bishtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorach Lekaimo Velo Rabbonon. So should we say that this idea is something only Rabbi Meir's acceptance and not the Rabbonon? Now, let's read the Gemara in its entirety. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, that which is taught by Mishnas Bar Kapora, meaning in Tanaic sources that were put together by Bar Kapora, An authority that lived at the end of the Mishnah period. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. It says the following: Hare shoya oichel soda uba becheskas shi shelo. There was a person who was enjoying a field with the assumption that it was his. V'kora olav echod aror lomar Sheli he. And someone came along with a protest, an aror, a protest, claiming it's mine. Vahoitzize es oinoi loimar shemocharto li oshenosato li bematona. And the current possessor pulled out a shtar as a response to the protester, saying, you're claiming it's yours, but you sold it to me. The expression "vehotzize es oino," he pulled out his oino, his shtar, which showed that the protester sold it to the current possessor or gave it to the current possessor as a matona. Im Omar, if the protester said, Eini makir bishtar zeh me'olam, I don't recognize the shtar, I don't know of the shtar at all, the possessor can do the following. Yiskayim hashtar b'choismov. He can verify the shtar through verifying the signatures and win. If, however, the protester said, Im Omar shtar pasim hu zeh, that this shtar was prepared as a shtar pasim. The Rashbam explains in the upper part of the page, shtar pasim, shepiyasto mimeni lichtoiv loch shtar mechiro. You convinced me to write a pseudo shtar, a pseudo document of sale, lahachzikcha beoshir lokeach karko, simply to enable you to show your friends that you're a rich man who purchased a lot of property. But it's not a real shtar mechira. That's a shtar pasim from Loloshin lefayes, to appease. Or the protester may claim, the Brisa goes on to say, O shtar amona shemacharti loch velo nosato li domim. The Rashbam says, under shtar amona, he explains, he'emanticho limsor l'cho shtar mechira. I trusted you to give you the bill of sale, to the sale document, kodem shekibalti adomim. I trusted you that you would pay me, but you never paid me. And therefore, the document is not a legitimate document of sale. You never paid for it. The Gemara, the source goes on. Let us read again the last two lines. Im Omar, if the protester said, yes, I wrote this document of sale. However, it's not a real document of sale. Shtar pasim hu zeh. This is just an appeased document, as we explained before in the Rashbam. Oy, shtar amona shemacharti loch velo nosato li domim. Or, I gave it to you on good faith. I wrote the shtar, anticipating you would pay me, but you never paid me. With this approach, we have heard the protesters saying, yes, I wrote the shtar, but im yesh edim haloch achar edim. If there are witnesses that could verify the protesters' claims, then we'll follow what the edim, what the witnesses say. The im lav, if the protester cannot produce witnesses to prove his case, halocha achar hashtar, then let us follow the shtar. What does that mean? The protester admitted that he wrote the shtar. That's called moida b'shtar shekosvoi. Once he admitted the shtar, we're not going to listen to the rest of the story. That's called ein tzorach lekaimo. The possessor here doesn't have to verify it any further. So Reish Lakish goes on to say here, Lema Rabbi Meir hi di omar moide b'shtar shekosvoi ein oi tzorach lekaimoi velo rabbonan. I would like to suggest that this is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but not that of the rabbonan. Omar lei, Rabbi Yochanan says, lo, I disagree. She'ani omer divrei hakoil moide b'shtar shekosvo eino tzorach lekaimo. I say, everyone would hold that way. And the hoidah, the essential confession or admittance that I wrote the shtar, that the initial comment that the protester made, yes, I did in fact write the shtar, that is the verification of the shtar. And he's no longer believed to say any further that it's possible. So Reish Lakish retorts, and you notice how the triangle form flipped around again with the point facing upwards, showing us that this is Reish Lakish's side. The ha miflag pligi, how can you claim it's divrei hakol, like we dashed underline just above? We dashed underlined the expressions divrei hakol and the expression eino tzorach lekaimo, but how can you claim that? V'homiflik pliki, we find Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim arguing over that issue? Disnan. We saw this source earlier. Ein ne'monim l'poislo. Witnesses that claim these are our signatures. That's it. That's the verification. They are no longer believed to say any further that we were not legitimate. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir's approach, which we would call Hamoida Bishtar Shekosvoi. Once it's admitted that he prepared it, then there's no further need for verification. Eino Tzorach Lekaimo. We see that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. And let us add, and we do not say HaPeh She'osar Hu HaPeh She'hitir, that he who bound it can also undo it. We don't say that. The Chachamim Omrim Ne'emonim. And the Chachamim take the other approach, that the witnesses who claimed these are our signatures are also believed to undo it and say that they were not legitimate witnesses at the time they signed it. Namely, HaPeh She'osar Hu HaPeh She'hitir. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says, it might be true that in that case you see this issue of Hamoide Bishtar Shekosvo Eino Tzorach Lekaimo being the subject of controversy, but that is characteristic of that case alone. That is because the speakers there were witnesses. There were two people. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says, I Eidim Alimi Umar Ishtora. If witnesses are alimi, are strong and able to weaken the shtar, as the Chachomim say, when they said ne'emonim, the witnesses are believed with their complete claim, not only did we sign it, but we also were incapable of signing, were not acceptable signatories. That's true when you're dealing with witnesses because of their Torah strength. Ihu kol kamine, but in our case above, where you have a protester who said, yes, I wrote the shtar, but it was a shtar amona or a shtar pasim, kol kamine, does he have the power to undo his verification of the document by his original statement that, yes, I wrote it? He can't undo that. Omar Lei, Reish Lakish comes back and says, Vahaloi Mishimcha Omru, but in your name it was said, Yofe Iraru B'nei Mishpacha. In the case involving the story with B'nei Brak that we saw in the Tanaic source at the bottom of Omar Aleph, the B'nei Mishpacha, who claimed that he was a Katan, that was a good claim. In other words, the Moide Bishtar Shekosvo, yes, he wrote the document. However, he was a Katan. And as a result of that, we see that there still is a need for Kiyum Hashtar. Shows us that you, Rabbi Yochanan, by saying Yofe Iro B'nei Mishpacha, that the family of the heirs had a solid claim, and that the claim that their relative had prepared the shtar is not tantamount to verification. Namely, Hamoide Bishtar Shekosvo is still Tzorich Lekaimo. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan says back, you're saying that in my name? Zu? Elozer Omra. Ani lo amarti dover zeme olam. That's Elozer, my student, said that Yofe iru'aru b'nei mishpacha. I never said that. Omar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera's comment will take a few lines, and we've indicated that by a long marking. By looking at the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Tosfos, you see a little triangle with a long dashed line, indicating all of these lines are part of Rabbi Zera's response. This response will take the position of Reish Lakish, and we see that by the point facing up. In other words, we're going to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's rejection. Amar Rabbi Zera, Im yichbar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lozer Tamido, if Rabbi Yochanan can deny and ascribe the statement to Rabbi Lozer, his student, namely if he has the ability, the power to deny in the face of his student, would he deny in the face of his Rebbe? Yichbar b'Rebbe Yanai Rabboi? The Omar Rebbe Yanai, Omar Rebbe. Rebbe Yanai quotes Rebbe Yuda Nosi, Moide b'shtar shekosvoi, tzorich l'kaimoi. Notice with our markings we featured Rebbe Yanai in order to emphasize this is the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan speaking, and we've also emphasized with the dash line tzorich l'kaimo, which is a position that Rabbi Yochanan above said in the original, as this discussion unfolded, that everyone would hold ein tzorich l'kaimo. Here Rabbi Yanai is saying tzorich l'kaimo. The Omar lei Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yanai, his Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, this is a reference to Rabbi Yanai, Rebbe, lo mishnosenu hizu, is this not in fact our Mishnah? Our Mishnah concerns a case of moide b'shtar shekosvo. We had a shchiv meirah, or a person giving a gift, claiming, yes, I wrote the document, but I happen to be a shchiv meirah. So it's a case of moide b'shtar shekosvo, and what does it say? V'chachomim oimrim ha-moitzi mechaveroi olov haraya, that the receiver has to bring proof. Ein raya elo b'kiyum hashtar. And it was explained that the Chachomim in our Mishnah, when they said have to bring a proof, the receiver has to bring a proof, the proof was through verification of the document. In other words, even though there was already a Moide B'Shtar Shekosvo, still Tzorich L'Kaimo, still the receiver had to verify it. So, once again, you see that this idea of Moide B'Shtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorich L'Kaimo, which is what Rabbi Yochanan claimed everyone held, you see from here, that's not the case. Here the Chachamim don't say that, but rather, Moide B'Shtar Shekosvo, still Tzorich L'Kaimo. Bram. This point, a very interesting thing takes place. The discussion flips around. In other words, we now see a comment in defense of Rabbi Yochanan. It's Rabbi Zeiro, though, continues to speak. But since it's the opposite direction, in other words, we're going to take a tzad countering that which was just said, we don't include this in the long marking of Rab Zeiro's opening comment. Bram, Nirin Divrei Rabbeinu Yosef. The Omar Rabbeinu Yosef. Rather, it appears more likely the approach taken by Rav Yosef. And we will see that Rav Yosef presents an opposite presentation of the Shitas Chachomim and Rabbi Meir. The Omar Rabbeinu Yosef, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Chachomim. Namely, that the Chachomim would hold Moide B'Shtar Shekosvoi, Ein Tzorich L'Kaimo. Notice, in that which we've written in, we've also dashed, underlined, Ein Tzorich L'Kaimo, which is the position Rabbi Yochanan took. Avol Rabbi Meir, Omer, Moide B'Shtar Shekosvoi, Shet Tzorich L'Kaimo. But Rabbi Meir, he would be of the opinion that one who, in a case where someone admitted that he wrote the Shtar, there would still be a need for further verification on the part of the claimer. Umay divrei hakol, and what was meant above when Rabbi Yochanan said that is divrei hakol? Notice we have an asterisk here. Just follow the parallel one, and you skim up the page, and you notice it is at the point at which Rabbi Yochanan said that Moide B'Shtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorich L'Kaimo is a divrei hakol, is something accepted by everybody. What does that mean, accepted by everybody? Umay divrei hakol, the rabbonon legabi Rabbi Meir. that the Rabbanan, in the face of Rabbi Meir, since they represent a majority opinion, equals Divrei HaKol Hi. It's tantamount to saying everybody. In fact, it's not everybody, but it's safe to say it's Divrei HaKol, because of the fact it's a majority opinion. The question is raised, V'ha Ipchotnan, but the Mishnah presents to the contrary, as follows, V'chachomim omrim, ha-moitzi mechaveroi olov haraya, namely, that even though the giver, the one being claimed from, already admitted, still the tovea, the claimer, has to verify the document, namely, ha-moitzi b'shtar shekosvo, tzorech lekaimo, under the heading, under the shita, the opinion of the chachomim. So how can you say that it's the chachomim would say ein tzorech lekaimo, when from here you see yes tzorech lekaimo? Epuch. Flip around the shitas, flip around the opinions. Ah, but how can you say that? V'ha tanya, ein ne'emonim lepoisloi divrei Rabbi Meir, that once witnesses say that this is our, these are our signatures, they no longer are believed to say that we were psulim, which is equal to saying that hamoide b'shtar shekosvo, ein tzorach l'kaimo, that once they said we have signed it, they're no longer, that's the verification, they're no longer believed to undo that. V'chachomim omrim ne'emonim, it comes out that according to the Chachomim, Hamoide b'shtar shekosvo tzorach l'kaimo. So how can you say, flip them around, when the Brisa says that the Chachomim hold tzorach l'kaimo? They will flip that around too. The question is raised, v'ha Rabbi Yochanan, is it not so that Rabbi Yochanan himself on Omid Aleph said, Raya b'edim ko'omar? And above, he said that Hamotzi mechaberu olav haraya meant the need to verify the document. Let us take a look in the Rabbeinu Gershom. You notice where there is an asterisk, three lines from the bottom of his commentary, Umakshino de Rabbi Yochanan ad Rabbi Yochanan. We're raising an inherent contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar Le'el ain raya elo b'kiyum hashtar. Rabbi Yochanan above had said that the raya is through verification of the document. The Sevira lay moide b'shtar shekosvoi tzorach l'kaimo. That coming from a position that even though the writer of the shtar admitted he wrote it, nevertheless, there's still additional need for verification. V'homer Rabbi Yochanan raya b'edim, but Rabbi Yochanan on Omid Aleph said the raya's b'edim. We presented the Gemara on Omid Aleph where we said that Rabbi Yochanan paralleled Rav Huna, and Rav Huna had explained that the motzi mechaber of a raya was bringing of witnesses. So the Gemara answers epuch, and once again let us look at the Rabbeinu Gershom epuch hochi. Flip that around as well. Thusly, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Raya b'kiyum hashtar, that the Raya of Hamotzi mechaver olav haraya is through verification of the document. V'Reish Lakish Omar Raya b'edim, and Reish Lakish is the one that says that proof is through the bringing of witnesses, that the Motzi mechavero would have to bring witnesses that the giver of the document was a healthy person. Well, if you flip that around, then the Gemara raises a question, Lemo lepuch nami tyuvta. If that be the case, namely, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that the raya is through kiyum hashtar, the hamotzi mechaber of a raya means that the receiver has to still verify the signatures, did we not have a story involving the family and B'nai Brak? And we said that that whole storyline would have made better sense had it been Raya B'edim. Who raised that as an objection? Well, originally we saw that was Rabbi Yochanan raising it as an objection. But if you flip around these opinions, and Rabbi Yochanan saying the raya is through Kiyam Ashtar, then it really should be Reish Lakish raising the objection on Rabbi Yochanan. That's the Gemara's question here. Lema lepuch nami tiyufta. Should we flip around the original question that was raised involving the B'nai Brak story? The Gemara to that answers, loy. There's no need to flip that around. Hochi ka'omar lei Rabbi Yochanan le Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Here the Gemara at the top of Kufnun Hei Omed Aleph explains, thusly Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us look at the Rashbam for introductory purposes at the top. Hochi ka'omar lei Rabbi Yochanan le Reish Lakish. Bishlamo ledidi de amino raya b'kiyum ashtar. It's better according to me that I say that the raya is through verification of the document. The afchino nami masnisen, and I flipped around the Mishnah as well to the Rabbonon ein tzorech lekaimoi. The Rabbonon holding that there's no need for the receiver to further verify the document. Kevan demoide shekosvo, since the giver admitted that he wrote the document. Hainu de mishkachas lehu nichsi biyado de lekuchos. With that, I can understand that the property is in the hands already of the purchasers in the B'nai Brak story. How is that? Because there was admission that the deceased wrote up the document. The osu yorshim v'kom arari. And it's the heirs that are coming to challenge and try to get their property back. Kidomer Liel, as the Gemara said before, Hochi nami mistabro, midekotoni diomer lohu iatem rashoin lenavlo, vechule, etc. Meaning, the whole flow of the Gemara from before, we can still maintain what the Gemara said earlier. Hilkoch, shema kaimu shtar, therefore, maybe the receivers were Mekayim the Shtar, namely to explain how the receivers of that, or the purchasers there, are in the property. They were possibly Mekayim their Shtar. Namely, like I say that Raya is Bekiyum Hashtar, and they did that, O Afilu Lo Kimu, or even if the purchasers were not Mekayim, did not verify the document, came on to Modu B'nei Mishpocha B'shtar Shekosvu Nosein, since the family of the deceased admitted that their relative wrote the shtar, Ein Tzorech L'kaimo, there's no further need to verify the document, V'huchsuku L'kuchos B'nechosim. And as a result of that, the purchasers were able to take possession of the Nechosim. Continuing in the Gemara here, with this, we can still, without a need to flip around the original question, we can understand how Rabbi Yochanan, who takes the position that Raya is B'kiyum Hashtar, it was thusly that Rabbi Yochanan raised his objection to Reish Lakish. Bishlamo ledidi d'amino Raya B'kiyum Hashtar. Through my approach, I can see the case, I can understand the case of the B'nai Brak, that the raya is through verification of the document. Hainu de mishkachas lo denachti lekuchos l'nechosim. With that, we can understand how the purchasers ever descended upon the property. Elodidcho, the amris raya b'yeda, but according to you, that says that the proof that's needed to be brought is through producing witnesses. Hechi mishkachas lo denachti lekuchos l'nechosim. How could the purchasers, however, descended upon the property? The Rashbam says here, Elo lidcho di amris raya b'edim, o lidcho, and according to you, Reish Lakish lo mishapcho masnisen, you didn't flip around the opinions in the Mishnah. The cave on the amri rabbonon, and since it's the rabbonon that say, according to you, hamotzi mechavero olav haraya, dahinu mekabel matana, that the one who is extracting is the receiver of the gift in the Mishnah, that it's upon him to bring proof. Nichsi biyada de lekuchos, Hechi mishkachas lo, how could the property ever be found in the possession of the purchasers? Ha les lehu edim shegodol hoya, they don't have witnesses that he was in fact adult. in order to legitimatize the sale. And if that's the case, how could they have ever descended upon the property? The Gemara continues. Omar Lei, Reish Lakish answers, Modin Aloch bi'aror de b'nei mishpacha. I concede to you that in the case of a challenge on the part of the family, their challenge, the lav aror hu. Their challenge is no challenge, and min hadin, the purchasers took possession of the property. My ko'amri, what are they saying? Katan hoya. What is their claim to the property? That that our relative was a katan. Chazoka eino edim chosme ashtar limke nase godol. We have a basic assumption that people do not sign documents unless the party selling the property was a godol. The Rashbam says, "Nase godol, no sein umekabel," that the parties in the document that are the parties of the sale were both gedolim, the edim kulam gedolim uksherim. Umaskana de shmeitza. The conclusion of this sugya, moide b'shtar shekosvel ein tzorach lekaimo, kiddushmuel ukrab yochanan. With that, we complete our shiur for today.